Welcome back to High Short Up. Today, I'm with CEO of Gridless, man who to most doesn't need much of an introduction by now. We've had Eric on the channel before.
High Short Up, hardware sales, advisory, hosting, and site brokerage. Find new and used ASIC deals through the website and the Telegram channel below. Make smarter decisions with High Short Up.
Today, Eric, I just released a video on what stranded energy is. And sometimes I feel like I'm way down in the forest and it's very hard for me to step out. Explain it in layman's terms. I know that's a job that you often have to do as well with investors and people in your circles that might not be super familiar with what it is that Gridless does. So how would you explain it? If you had to explain stranded energy to me, what would be your approach?
First of all, Jesse, let me say it's good to be back with you on the show, but also it's good to be with you in Zambia.
Yeah.
Just after that, the Africa Bitcoin Mining Summit 2025.
Third iteration.
I know. So it's fun to be, you know, I think all of us have gotten to know each other better, which is great.
For sure.
So stranded energy, the way we think about stranded energy is just wasted energy. That's the easiest way that we can frame it. So in our world where we're doing off-grid renewable energy, these are sites that have their capacity usage by the community. So the businesses and the people who live in that area might range between 20 and 35%. And so anything that's not being used by them is quite literally wasted. And that is stranded. That's stranded power. And so what we do is we go in and we say, hey, we'll take that rest of that stranded power and we can turn on or off the miners to be the load balancer for you on that stranded power. So as a maize mill turns on or five people turn on their power at home, we can turn off a miner in under a second.
Yeah.
And that's us using that stranded power and both helping monetize that site, but also helping stabilize the grid. There's other stranded energy too. That's our world of stranded energy in our part of Africa. The other part of stranded energy is you see, you know, like terawatts of wasted wind power in, you know, north of Scotland or in the U.S. We've got hydro being wasted all over the world, right? In everywhere from the Congo to Ethiopia and Africa. So there's stranded power everywhere. And it comes from a very simple problem, right? Whether you're in that village in Malawi or Zambia, or you're in the U.K., there's just a certain amount of time that people use power, and everything that's not being used is just wasted. And there's in most power sources you can't just turn off, and so it's squandered energy.
Yep.
And the great thing about the compute side of what we do is that it doesn't need to be wasted anymore.
So, those sites that you operate on, they're mostly off grid, right? They're all off grid. How do these people or these operators solve the problem of balancing the load before Gridless arrives? What do they do? What are their go-to solutions?
So it's quite literally dumped. So what they do is, in some places, you'll see them taking heating elements and just dumping the power into that heating element because that takes a lot of energy and dissipating it that way. They people do what they can. Sometimes they have governors on the turbines or something else that'll try and reduce the amount of water that they're using. Maybe they'll change the intake. Just so that there's less water coming in, things like that.
So just bypassing the energy. And all of that is potential electricity, right?
That could be.
I mean, in the heating element side, I think that's what I found also the most, is that it's just transfer from the highest grade of energy that we have to the lowest.
Just to keep
the turbine from running away, basically.
That's right. I think the way I think about it is there's pockets of wasted energy everywhere in the world. How do we optimize our energy sites and how we utilize that energy as an anchor tenant is really what's missing. And so Bitcoin mining, no matter if it's in the US, in Texas, or if it's in Kenya, it's that anchor tenant that's been missing. And once you have that anchor tenant, it just completely changes the economics for the energy owner, and the grid stability. It changes all that. And when you change that, what you can do is you can start doing other interesting things on your grid because you're now fully monetizing it. So what we see here in Africa is that people start, who've got these energy generation sites, they're finally able to pay their line workers. They're able to fix transformers. They're finally able to buy power meters and install them in more homes. And all of a sudden you get more electrification. You get cheaper prices. It just kind of improves everything for everybody. And there's nobody who loses in this. It's everybody wins when you bring, a base load, anchor tenant like Bitcoin mining to a site.
What do you think? Because, maybe you don't share the sentiment, right? But I'm frequently struggling explaining to energy professionals the concept of utilizing stranded power, because really it means it's almost too good to be true for them, right? Because this problem has been around forever, right? And along comes Bitcoin mining with the super new load profile, new characteristics of how power is being used. And I struggle to engage with energy professionals and make them understand that there's no additional cost. There's nothing they have to do, right? They have to pay. We can use the exact same system and just increase the load artificially on the grid to keep power from being quote unquote wasted, right?
Yeah.
What do you think is the struggle there for them to mentally get around to the idea that you can flexibly use this power?
It's a good question. I think it comes at a couple layers. I mean, first you've got this like seemingly magical answer, this silver bullet, right, with this geographically agnostic buyer of last resort that can be turned off in less than a second and can balance your load like this, and it can be set up in 3 days. What are you talking about, right?
And then it also makes its money back in like 3 months per machine,
yeah.
And it's Bitcoin. Good. It must be a pyramid scheme.
And the guys who are coming to me, if I'm an energy guy, the guys who are coming to me are bringing this crypto thing, this Bitcoin thing, and they don't really understand it. And so it just sounds... So I think there's two layers. There's one is like, is it too good to be true, right? And there's the other one, which is perception risk. Even if you've heard about Bitcoin before, a lot of energy guys, they make... Not the off-grid guys, but a lot of the other energy guys make good money at what they do. So if you come to them and say, hey, let's add this and we'll increase... marginally increase your revenue, and that'd be good for you. They might look at that and say, yeah, but my peers might think less of me. So it's actually a perception and ego problem is part of it, right? But they can get past that if they actually have real monetary issues.
Do you think it has to do also with where the capex to build the sites comes from in some cases? Is that an issue? Investors and their ideas around Bitcoin mining?
So, yeah. But the investors, it's really the debt providers. Those are the biggest problems. So the grant givers and the debt providers, not investors, real investors who are just coming with capital they're looking for returns on. This is a great answer. And so we haven't talked to a single investor as an issue with this. But you start talking to, the European Development Bank or, anything the World Bank or the IMF touches or actually anything that touches Europe. And some of the Rockefeller Foundation type people or things like that. And they all have this issue about, Bitcoin. They don't want to be, they have a perception issue too. They think that they're going to be painted in a bad light because of, 15 years of FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt being painted in the media about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And the mining specifically using a lot of energy. The point is that it uses a lot of energy. That's what we need. Right. But, so for them, it's a little bit of a perception problem. It's much more of a a little bit of an ego problem, but not. And that's not the major part. It's actually that, you've got organizations now putting regulations that say, we can't do this.
Yeah.
So we had a site to be unnamed that had that we were working on, and they got debt service from a European group. And that European group came back a year after it was started. So this site would have completely tanked. It would not have made it past year one without us being there. It would have died, right? So the Bitcoin mining that Gridless provided floated this company for a year. And then these Europeans came along and they said, you can't be paid in Bitcoin anymore. After they had the hour plus conversation with me about it, after I told them how it works, like explained it perfectly clearly, they just came back and said, no, you can't take this anymore. So it was really interesting. So like you would rather see a site die than have the income for that power generation company be Bitcoin. Like it's now you're talking about ideology, right? And so a lot of the problem that's coming from Europe and these big multinationals multilateral organizations like the World Bank and IMF is really about ideology. And their ideology has somehow you know, decided that Bitcoin is some religious pariah to them.
This episode is sponsored by Hashbranch, the easiest way to mine Bitcoin in the US. Sourcing hardware and rack space usually is a mess. Bad deal structures, misaligned incentives, and no visibility after deployment. I have placed tens of thousands of ASICs in partnership with Hashbranch. What I like most is that they cut through the noise. Fair pricing, aligned terms, and access to hosting that actually works. Use code HASHRATEUP100, visit hashbranch.com today to get $100 off of each miner that you order.
It's comfort, I think, and it's also where these debt providers get their money from, right? And then we're talking about incentives, something that we've talked a lot about at the ABMS now, just 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Where does the money come from? What interest does it have? Is there an incentive to make more money, right? We've said working with IPPs and private owners, private operators is so much easier because there's no politics involved, right?
Yeah. Well, here's the silver lining on all this.
Mm.
You know, we've been around for 3 years now. And through that, we've done a lot of discovery on how the energy investing side works.
Yeah.
And out of that, we realized that, we don't need these concessionary financiers anymore. We don't need these debt providers anymore. We actually don't need them. We can go straight investor.
Yeah.
We can build new energy sites.
Yeah.
So Runner River Hydro in rural Zambia. We can build those, apply the mining, get 100% capacity usage from day one, start feeding the electricity into that local community and get a return on that investment, the full return in 5 years' time.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, so guess what? The Rockefellers, the African Development Banks, the European Development Banks, all of these guys are not needed anymore.
But this is important, right? Why would you, if you're Bitcoin mining, right, you want power seemingly to go to your miners all the time, right? Explain to the audience why you as Bitcoin miners would consider selling power to the local grid.
Why? I mean, the economics are completely aligned. The incentives are completely aligned, and I'll tell you why. You know, I'm using, you know, last generation's Bitcoin miners on these old sites, right? And so I'm getting paid, let's call it 10 cents per kilowatt hour. That I'm using Bitcoin miners. If somebody were to come to me and say, hey, can I pay you 11 cents per kilowatt hour? I would happily sell it to them because I'll make more money.
Yeah.
And I can just buy Bitcoin with that 11 cents too.
Yeah.
So it's a wash for me on the Bitcoin. Yeah. It's fine. What's where this becomes really interesting, you say, well, what's the price of power in that country? Well, in Kenya, our price of power is like 22 cents plus VAT, right? So those people in the village, if they're getting it for 11, 12, even 15 cents, they're getting it significantly cheaper than everybody else on the national grid still, right? And what actually happens is that if you look at these off-grid energy sites that have been built across Africa, they're expensive. And so, and the capacity isn't being used by the community. So what do they end up doing? They end up charging 30 cents, 70 cents, over a dollar per kilowatt hour. And so you're taking you're charging people more in these rural areas who have less disposable income, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're saying, okay, this is backwards, right?
Yeah.
So what Bitcoin mining actually does when it's applied to an energy site is, number one, give a much better return on investment. But number two, it sets a price floor for the price of energy in the community so that they get the price cheaper than they would have any other way.
Yeah. Plus, additionally, right, turbines like to run all the time. Mm-hmm. They don't like to run 50% of the time. They don't like to be ramped down to make sure there's equilibrium, right? So what you're doing is you're effectively producing cheaper power if you manage to run the turbines at full throttle.
Right. And so the way I like to think about it is that Bitcoin mining acts as a shock absorber on intermittent power in and variable power out. So renewable energy, whether it's hydro, wind, solar, whatever it is, you know, is intermittent, right? Like you have cycles that go up and down. And so you need to be able to adjust, you know, for that while still letting the turbine run as fast as it can,
yeah,
right? And at the same time, you have to worry about the demand side where people are turning power on and off in the village. So the Bitcoin mining becomes this beautiful shock absorber that can just absorb all of that stuff in real time, and it just stabilizes the grid, makes it better for everybody.
So you've said gridless has been around for 3 years now, which in Bitcoin is centuries. Seemingly, it feels obvious that a year goes by and it's just so much has happened, right? In the energy industry, 3 years is not a long time.
No, it's like molasses in January. Yeah.
So where is Gridless going next? Where are you today? You're in Kenya. You're in, remind me, what are all the countries that you guys operate?
Yeah, so Gridless has six sites in Kenya, Malawi, and Zambia. We're opening up new sites. We're looking in Rwanda right now, Central and West Africa. So new sites will be opening up in those three areas. And that'll be over the next 6 months. So those are pretty quick. But that's the normal. We're finding stranded power. Let's go bring some Bitcoin mining containers and set them up. That's the normal story of Gridless. But the new thing that's been going on this year is we started out our energy arm. So the energy arm of Gridless is called Outpost Power. So Outpost Power goes in and buys old hydro sites that might need a turbine replaced or fix the civil works because it broke 20 years ago. And so we can buy those sites and fix them within 6 to 9 months. And then put Bitcoin mining on them, start them up again, right? We're also building new sites. So these are sites in like central Kenya or northern Malawi, where we've done the feasibility studies, we've gotten the approvals from both the government and the community, and we're going to build them from scratch. So those are greenfield sites, and those will take 2 years to build, 18 months to 24 months to build. They take longer, but the whole idea is that, you know, Gridless, the way we do our business today, we already have the best unit economics in Bitcoin mining. Like, we can make our Bitcoin cheaper than everybody else because we do revenue sharing with our partners. As we own the energy, our unit economics get even better. So on a site that I've just built or I've just bought, I'll be paying the equivalent of 2 cents, you know, in cost until it's paid off. And after that 5 years, my marginal cost of energy is now under half a cent.
Yeah.
Right. So unless you're getting government subsidized like free energy to do Bitcoin mining, we will always have the lowest economics in the world.
So, I mean, the concept around revenue share and all of that, I explain in these focus episodes because now people are like, well, what revenue share? Why is it all so cheap? You know, explain to people maybe the reason why you do revenue share. Why don't you do a fixed price of energy and you give the operator 3 cents and you negotiate? Why do you prefer to do revenue share?
So, you know, Bitcoin mining goes through cycles too, where the Bitcoin miners will be paid a very, very small amount of money at a certain amount of time. And it might be 3 months, it might be 6 months, but if you're, some of those times that what you're being paid goes way under what you're paying for power. And so you're literally either having to turn off your Bitcoin miners or you have to pay the energy guy excess. So you're basically paying to run your machines.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, the decision from Gridless to only do revenue share was specifically to take care of the down market trend, to de-risk ourselves during those times when it's low income. And what it means, though, is that if we paid a fixed price during the up market, we would make more money. Right. But with this indirect cost of percentage, our partners make more money when the market's good. Our partners make less money when the market's bad. But so do we. We're kind of linked at the hip here. So we never die, though. We never have to turn off.
Exactly.
That's the point. It's like we can always run. Everybody's making some money all the time. Sometimes you're making a lot more money, and sometimes you're making a little bit less. But you're always making money.
Yeah. So if hash price goes up, everybody celebrates. Right, there's also unification, like there's synergies and people are aligned in keeping the miners running as much as they can because everybody depends on that for their revenue, right?
Well, it goes even further. I mean, yes, for the energy provider, the company, right?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, when we're in those rural areas, the line workers, the people who work for that energy company, they start getting paid regularly because the Bitcoin mining is there. They really make sure things are always working.
Fair enough.
You know, the individuals who work for those companies are very motivated to make sure that we don't have any problems.
Interesting, yeah. Plus, what I keep thinking about is also, right, you just mentioned on a downtrend, you make less money, sure, but everybody does.
Right.
Everybody makes less money. So when the downtrend happens, you guys stay online, other people have to turn off because they don't have that revenue.
That's right.
So now it gets easier for you to mine, right?
Yeah. So difficulty adjustment shifts. You know, we continue making money while everybody else turns off or when others turn off.
Eric, I got to go to the airport. I could talk to you forever. You know that.
Hey,
I
want
to thank you so much for everything that you do for Africa Bitcoin Mining. HashRedUp, my company, tries to promote that very much, you know, adopt more hash rate on the continent because we both think, you know, we're super bullish on the opportunities here. We just had a third iteration of ABMS.
Yeah.
Next year, I know where I want to go next year, but where do you think ABMS should
happen? I know you want us to go to South Africa. Listen, it's going to be, like, we could return to Kenya. It could be down in South Africa. We are looking at a Central African country that might be possible. We have to get some, we have to have some discussions first, but we'll make that decision by December at the Africa Bitcoin Conference when we all get together there. But I want to thank you too. I mean, Hashrate Up is super valuable for our community because you're one of the few people, I think the only person, who's out there actually talking and broadcasting about what's going on with Bitcoin mining on the continent. All of us might put out a blog post here or a tweet there, but you really, you know, grab all the information, make it clear, tell the story. So really appreciate your work.
Yeah, I can't write, so I have to speak. Eric, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, fly safe.
Fest.
All right.
Thank you so much. Guys, check out Gridless online. This was Eric, CEO of Gridless. All the best. See you next time.